This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Might be shocked by what I'm going to tell you. The GDP up 2.9%, more than expected. Good news. Maybe we are going to fend off the dreaded recession. Wouldn't that be something? And the Ukraine hit with a new missile barrage. Seems that Putin wasn't putting up with all of the aid coming the way of the Ukraine in the form of tanks. Hey, everybody. Just another day in paradise as we are all on a spinning planet. Kate Delaney here, and as always, thrilled to be at the helm, even in these challenging times. So let's start with Ukraine, because a lot of you sent me emails about what's going on. It's been 11 months, and I keep seeing the sad video, and I thought they were getting some help when it came to military aid, when it comes to tanks, etc. And yes, Ukraine is getting aid from several countries, and it's pretty much out there, and it's not a secret, and Putin knows it, and decided that, or at least released the PR, I'm going to call it the negative PR, I would see it as, but he wouldn't, that this is in a reaction to the aid that Ukraine is getting. So Germany, the U.S., Britain, Poland, Netherlands, Sweden, these are nations that have sent or announced plans to supply hundreds of tanks and heavy armored types of vehicles. Why? To help Ukraine fortify itself, because this is a new phase of the war. And they're trying to break through some of these entrenched Russian lines. I mean, the British government said on Thursday they're going to start training Ukrainian troops next week on how to use and fix Challenger 2 tanks. The UK has given 14 of the tanks to their forces, so they need to be able to learn how to operate that equipment. So Moscow is watching, and that's exactly what they're saying. Russia has carried out massive strikes on, let's face it, since the fall, on energy facilities, and they're doing everything they can to, of course, hamper Ukrainian efforts and to keep civilians in the cold and dark this winter in what could be incredibly, incredibly tough. So in Kyiv, there was a loud explosion. Windows were blown out. Shrapnel, basically, from the trucks that were parked nearby. There were trees that were snapped in half. I mean, whatever you can imagine when you get bombed by so many missiles. And you had that, and you saw, you know, a large hole in roofs and pieces of debris and all the kinds of damage that you can only imagine. So it killed Thursday, the first war-related death in Kyiv this year, and killed at least 11 people overall because they hit a dozen Ukrainian provinces early on Thursday. So Russia's recent pattern had been, like I said, striking power plants and critical infrastructure about every couple of weeks. So this kind of breaks with that, and flat out, this is the response to aid being given to the Ukrainians. I mean, we come back to the same thing, and it's the question that you wanted to discuss, and it's the question that gets asked, is when does this end? I mean, it's been 11 months. And the answer to that question is, I don't see Putin backing out of this. There have been rumors that could happen. But, I mean, unless he steps away, and if he steps away or he's challenged, then that changes the game completely. But it's been rough on the Ukrainian people, of course, as we all know. And 11 months is a very long time, and it could continue to drag on, which I believe it will. The GDP, 2.9%, as I said, so why do you care about that number? Because you want to see those kinds of numbers. So this is in the fourth quarter, because, of course, we keep hearing about the potential recession. So when the gross domestic product was higher than was even forecasted by economists, we'll take it. You know, we will take it. I mean, consumer spending weakened from the previous period, but still was positive. A slide in the housing market helped pull the GDP. Boosts in government spending and private investment helped in that growth. Jobless claims fell last week, while durable goods and others increased sharply in December. But that's mainly because of the push for aircraft. So, hey, the U.S. economy finished, if that was fourth quarter, 2022 in pretty good shape, even though there was a lot of question about what was happening next. And we look at the potential of recession, and nobody wants to see that, obviously, because we're seeing the job cuts already in the tech industry, and going through a recession is, and with a timeline that could stretch longer than we really want to see, is not something that any of us want to see be elongated and go through the rest of the year or pop up really in earnest in the second quarter. But I think there are, that's part of the pullback with tech is, well, we hired a lot of people because of the pandemic, and now we got to shelter in place because of this looming recession. I think that's part of what caused that for sure. So producers are saying the avian flu is part of the reason for the soaring costs, but now there is also some groups accusing others of price gouging. So the true, I read an interesting headline. The egg carton is the symbol of inflation, and I agree with that, because every time I go to the store, I think I need reading glasses. I must be reading this wrong. By the end of 2022, we know that the price had shot up 60% year over year, right? And so people are thinking of other ways. I've already mentioned this, the whole idea of there's been like a boom in chickens, people getting their own chickens and doing it that way. There's also people smuggling in to the United States eggs across the U.S.-Mexico border. That's become a big deal. That has surged. So when you look at what a carton of one dozen eggs is, ranging from $7.49 to $9.99, so much higher than you're used to paying, right? But is there an end in sight? I mean, loose egg prices are declining, but it's not happening when you go and get a dozen eggs, not anytime soon. I mean, this outbreak, the avian flu, certainly has not helped. I got my fingers crossed, because I am egg-centric. I don't know about you. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
We're out of January and into February, and that creature, Punxsutawney Phil, will let us know, is he going to see a shadow or not? Are we going to have more winter, or are we going to jump to spring? I think there's a lot of people that would like to see that jump to spring. Hey, Jay Leno, back in November, if you remember, was seriously burned in a garage fire after one of his cars erupted in flames. There was so much worry over Jay Leno. He got some serious burns, but he really almost immediately tweeted out how well he was being treated and how he felt pretty good, and his people who co-starred with him in various movies and stuff, because he was actually in a couple of movies, like his pal Tim Allen, they were comics together. He went to visit him, and so he was able to make light of it and move on from that. But sad to say, if you are a fan of Jay Leno's Garage, it's been canceled. Yep, it deserves that mic drop. He never dropped his mic on stage too often, but Jay Leno's Garage was on the air for 7 seasons, and it's now the final season, of course, of the show is now. And the series launched in 2014 when Leno left The Tonight Show for good. So what's really crazy about this is, I mean, a lot of people like Jay Leno's Garage because he's a car nut and does know a lot about cars. But as far as Jay Leno being on NBC, on the Peacock, 30 years. That's a big chunk of a career, 30 years on the network. So it was a web series and TV special, and then it went to NBC. And it highlighted interesting cars and whatnot, iconic cars in famous movies, restored vintage and sports cars, and, you know, during its run, it even at one point got a Primetime Emmy Award. And you got to see Christian Bale's Batmobile, the Back to the Future DeLorean, which I thought was really cool, Kit from Knight Rider. So a lot of celebrity guests would come in, and I think it was really very clever, I have to say. So now the show gets axed as he comes back, you know, just over 2 months after those burns, while he was working on that car in his garage, just a weird freak accident. But don't cry for Jay Leno. Certainly, he has a ton of do-re-mi, and he always has opportunities to perform stand-up comedy on stage, and that's his love. So he will absolutely, I'm sure, continue to do that now. And maybe Jay Leno's garage will find a new home somewhere with all the streaming services and everything else. I don't think that would be shocking, but no longer on NBC. Yeah, it's very, very strange. You know, here's the thing. It's like we need a guide to what's getting jumped here, what's moving here. Do you not hate that? I hate that when I'm trying to figure out, well, okay, what's the tennis channel? What's ESPN? What's HGTV? Whatever it is. And half the time I have no idea. I like hit that guide button more times than I care to because so many of the shows switch, and then I'm trying to figure out where the show is. So you do that and you do the search, you know what I mean. All right, I would not be searching for this. I wish this is radio, but I want you to picture in your head the ugliest fish you could possibly think of with big fat lips. It's like, oh, just a gigantic eel, right? It's massive, like 4 feet long. And a marine researcher discovered this eel washed up on a Texas shore. And they usually are small, like tiny, and sometimes people use them for fishing bait or whatever. But the one is just too big. And American eels live mostly in freshwater, but to find anything out in any kind of ocean, and it like is a bizarre sea creature. Oh, It looks wrong. It looks like it should not be alive. What is this? And it just washed up. And all he was doing was surveying a beach, and he found it. And just looking at those eyeballs, I don't know. I just think when you swim, like I'm a swimmer, you like to swim or you like to go dive off a boat. Yeah, we really don't know what lies beneath. And if that thing flew by me in the water, I got to tell you, I think I would just be frozen. It is not only crazy ugly, but it is huge. So it looks like something you've never seen before, probably because you never have seen anything like it before. You got to check it out. Just put in giant eel, crazy giant sea creature, Texas beach, any of those things in your Google machine, and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. But it is pretty nutty, I have to say. All right, here's something that could play out for some people when they think about tires. A federal grand jury in Los Angeles is gathering evidence in a criminal investigation of Goodyear recreational vehicle tires, they say, that the government is blaming for crashes that killed 8 people. So what we're talking about is this lawsuit is part of this 2017 investigation of the tires by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that resulted actually in a recall last year. And they're saying that there's documents that reveal Goodyear knew that this particular tire, it's a G159 RV tire, could fail and cause severe crashes. But they didn't recall them for like 20 years. There's nothing worse than hearing that, right? For any of the families where they lost people because of what they think is this criminal negligence by Goodyear. Goodyear releases a statement, but they didn't address the federal investigation, but they say there's no safety defect with the tires. Of course, the tire hasn't been made since 2003. But when you find out, nothing is worse than that, when you find out that they clearly knew, ooh, this isn't good, but, and they're saying, you know, it's about dollars, and they're saying perhaps in their head, well, do we have to settle lawsuits, or how many people could possibly have problems with these tires? And Goodyear wouldn't recall the tires even as late as March of last year, even though investigators found their failures caused crashes that killed those people and actually injured 69 others from 1998 to 2009. So good for those families, good for anybody who's trying to nail them for this, if they can prove all that. I mean, look, the company routinely settled lawsuits and got judges to seal information, keeping it from other plaintiffs' lawyers. So they obviously knew it was going to cause a reaction. I guess better late than never, you could say, but tell that, as I said before, to somebody who lost a family member because of that. How do you think they would feel? Not good. Let's put it that way. I think they'd be furious because it was something that could have been changed. All right, and then this one, NASA marked the 20 years since the space shuttle Columbia disaster. It's been 20 years. They had a pretty somber ceremony to remember the fallen astronauts. About 100 people gathered at the Kennedy Space Center to remember the crew of seven, but also 18 other astronauts killed in the line of duty. I think that's nice, that recognition. I mean, Columbia was destroyed during reentry February 1st, 2003, after a piece of fuel tank foam came off and punctured the left wing during liftoff 16 days earlier. The shuttle broke apart over Texas just 16 minutes, which is so sad, away from its planned Florida touchdown. Next, two terrific authors. You don't want to miss their stories.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A first-of-its-kind execution is set to take place in Alabama. USA's Corey Myers has details.
U.S. Supreme Court justices rejecting an effort to stop the country's first-ever execution by nitrogen hypoxia. Kenneth Eugene Smith, serving on Alabama's death row for the murder of Elizabeth Sennett back in 1988, while Smith reportedly requested the new execution method, his lawyer still appealed, claiming the gas poisoning would violate the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment.
Former Trump White House aide Peter Navarro is being sentenced to 4 months in prison. Navarro was convicted of contempt of Congress in September for not complying with a subpoena issued by the January 6th House Select Committee. Navarro's team argued during sentencing that he believed he could not comply with the committee's subpoena due to executive privilege. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I know you've seen him. Think of KFC, Colonel Sanders. Think of George Washington crossing the Delaware. Since I grew up in that area, one of my favorites, the Geico commercial. But way more than that, he's been in so many films. He's done so many voices. Jim Meskimen is joining us in just a minute, and he's going to portray Phil Donahue in a new film called Welcome to Chippendales, and it's got an interesting cast, too, a lot of names that you would recognize. And plus, we want to talk to him about TikTok. 5 million viewers in 5 days. Wow. Jim, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
So let's talk about voices and how you knew you had this gift. How did you hone that skill?
Well, you know, I was a little kid that I grew up in an acting household, so it was fun to do, considered fun and acceptable and tolerable to do accents and funny voices and impressions, which I don't think is true in every household, but in our household it was fine to do it. You know, it was understood, and my sister and I used to play around. My mom is an actress, so she would do. She's very good at accents and characters and stuff. So we would, it was just something that I learned early on was an avenue of play. And just like other things you do when you're a little kid, you just do it because it's fun. And then, I don't know, you start to put in a lot of hours on it. And when I was in my 20s, I realized that I had a little bit of a leg up on other performers in that area. So I pursued a career in voiceover. And eventually that grew into an acting career, and you know, and here I am today, many, many years later, still doing the same stuff.
That's great.
I've advanced not even a yard on the field, but it is fun.
So, and of course, your mom is Marion Ross, Happy Days fame, and lots of films that she's been in. And you're right. Now, as soon as you said that, it triggered in me. Yes, she's done tons of accents. Do you remember the first character, the first person you really nailed that you felt like, oh, I really have this?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I played around with it a lot, but I remember distinctly that when All in the Family was on, and before my voice had changed, I could do a pretty good Edith Bunker. And I thought, yeah, that sounds pretty good. So I began to have, to develop confidence that way. And boy, geez, when I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a kind of a golden age of impressionists. We had Rich Little on TV all the time and others. The political voices of the day were always being mimicked by different comedians. And so I never had an idea even in my youth that it would be the sort of thing I would do for a living. But I did appreciate it a lot just as an art form. And I think I still understand the magical effect that it has on people when you suddenly change into another person very dramatically. And you bring that person, like Patrick Stewart, into the room. And whereas he was not there before, he most certainly is now. You know, and that's just a sort of a tool that audiences are very delighted by.
Oh, one of my favorites. I have to ask you about this Gaslit. I loved that series. It was wonderful. And you played Senator Gurney. What was that experience like for you?
I had a great time. I was sort of amazed that I got the role. It was a very big, prestigious, limited series on Stars with a couple of Oscar winners at the helm. So Julia Roberts, Sean Penn, I got to work with both of them. And, it was very exciting. The director, Matt Ross, was excellent director. He's an actor himself, so he knows how to speak to actors in a way that's, you know, doesn't waste anybody's time. And, Sean Penn was under so much prosthetic makeup that I found, which was very artful and beautiful. And if you've seen his look, it's just extraordinary. I found that the lucky thing about that for me was that I was not at all starstruck because Sean Penn was not in the building as far as I was concerned.
Wow, what high praise that is, because he transformed himself completely.
He did, and the great makeup designer, one of the best on the planet today, Kazuhiro, designed that makeup. And I met Kazu back in when we were like 1999 working on The Grinch, because he was helping out Rick Baker at that point. So it was a nice reunion to see Kazuhiro.
Tell us about the listeners about TikTok and the 5 million views and doing that and looping that all together.
Well, I'm always looking for new ways to reach people with my content, with my impressions, and just any creative idea I have. I'm one of these people that, despite my advanced years, has really embraced social media, particularly YouTube, and now TikTok, because I love to create all the time. It's what I love to do. I have, as you can see, I'm in a booth. I do a lot of sound recordings. I have a little area in the back where I do video recordings. And so TikTok, which I just was scratching my head over for the longest time, I just decided to really kind of hunker down and see what could be done. And I was admiring a lot of the work that was done on TikTok, and it frankly makes me laugh a lot. And it's just full of interesting distractions, which, of course, have their upside and downside. But I started to really just sort of look at what other people who do impressions were doing and taking a stab at it myself. And, it was very exciting a couple weeks ago. I had a video that took off pretty good, and it's now at 7.5 million views, that one that we launched less than a month ago. And I picked up a lot of followers, which is nice, you know, and flattering, and hopefully they'll continue to be interested in what nonsense I put out. And then just yesterday we had another one that went viral. It's at 2 million views. So we have high hopes for that. I think now people are digesting their entertainment and getting it in all sources. We definitely need a little lift every now and then. You know, life is very serious and grim sometimes. And the upside of these platforms like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube is that we can share ideas and aesthetic concepts and fun and humor very swiftly. Yeah. And you know, hopefully help each other over the bumps and sharp stones and edges of life.
And from the acting, voiceover, impressionist point of view, and like you say, you're a content curator, besides all the followers you're getting and more people knowing maybe who you are, that has to help too in the business, because that's putting you out there and other people maybe discovering you and thinking, oh, Jim, that's right, he'd be perfect for this role.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm planning on that being correct. I would like that to be the case. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I've had the experience where, you know, I go in for, like, say, a commercial audition or something, and I do the audition, and the director says, hey, I love all your stuff on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's very booing. And then, of course, when you don't get the job, you're wondering, well, I guess somebody came along that had even more amazing content and more followers, whatever. You know, in the arts and the producers, you know, the business people, the suits, I think they're always looking for metrics that will support their, you know, their opinion of why someone would be better than another person. So I don't think it hurts to have a little bit of popularity on a platform.
Yeah. How about what's coming up, Phil Donahue? Tell us about that project.
Yeah, so that's a limited series. This is, this is my Phil Donahue voice, for better or for worse. This is what I came up with, to kind of evoke this, very, very revered and, respected, I don't know what you call him now. He's not an anchor man. He's a guy that would walk up and down and talk to people, just ordinary people and unusual people, like the Chippendales dancers. So this series, which you mentioned, has a lot of a really terrific cast, including my friend Juliette Lewis, is the story of the Chippendales dancers, which you'd think would be kind of frothy and, I don't know, it's silly and lighthearted, but it's not. It's pretty dark. So I've not seen the whole thing, so I can't speak to it too much. But when they are introduced to America, it is via the old Phil Donahue show, and they needed somebody to portray Phil Donahue, and I auditioned and got the role, and it was super fun to do. I had a great time, and I've never seen so many Chippendales dancers dancing so long. I spent a whole day watching Chippendales dancers going at it, and also it was in a big room full of a big set full of women dressed like it was 1989. And it was gorgeous to see because, you know, I remember that period. And the styles, I mean, the makeup department, the wardrobe department, the hair department, they really went to it. You know, they went above and beyond and created a room full of screaming, you know, clutching, pawing women that looked just like 1989. It was gorgeous.
Oh, I love that. You put that image into my head now. Thank you very much. So you have fun, obviously, all day long at what you do, and you set that up when you talked about being a kid. What else do you do for fun? I mean, how do you get away from, okay, I'm not doing any content today. I'm just going to walk on the beach. I'm going to take a breath.
I've been working on getting just more physically fit, and I've been enjoying it really a lot. So I do that, and I'm a visual artist also. Not to sound like a complete pain in the butt, but I have been a cartoonist and an illustrator and a painter all my life. And that was my first profession and the road I really thought I was going to go down until I, you know, caught the acting bug for real.
Thank you so much, Jim Messman. We wish you the best in all your endeavors, and thanks for spending some time with us.
My great pleasure. Thank you very much, Kate. I'll see you around.
See you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Virtual green room. We're pleased to welcome her to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, because she's got such an interesting story to tell, and her novels will pull you away. And what do I mean by that? Take you to another place. And isn't that what we want to do when we really dive into a good, good story? So the first book we're going to talk about is Maggie's Bed and Breakfast Story. And then we're going to talk about the book of Scattered Memories. So Eva, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about your road to writing these novels. First of all, did you ever think that you were going to be a writer?
No, actually I didn't. This was kind of a hobby. It gave me something to do. You know, I just kind of, my kids grew up and left the house, and I thought it would be fun to write a book, and I found a program online to help me do it, and that's how I started.
So it's interesting because there is a tie, I think, in your mind to Maggie's Bed and Breakfast Story because of you and your sister and kind of dreaming about a bed and breakfast. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, me and my sister, we used to go for walks in the morning, and we'd see these big, beautiful homes, you know, and we would joke about, you know, that would be the perfect bed and breakfast. You know, we should just pull our money together and buy the place and quit this 9-to-5 job. You know, we both knew we didn't have the money to do it, but, you know, it was a dream. You know, it was a fantasy, but, yeah.
So tell me, so it's interesting now that, it's, you know, here it is, the fantasy does play out in the pages. Tell us about Maggie and tell us about the bed and breakfast story.
Okay, well, Maggie, she's actually starting her life over after she loses her husband to cancer at a young age. Before he died, he wanted her to go on and follow their dreams, which was to open up a bed and breakfast. And when he passed, he left her a large insurance policy, you know, so she'd be able to do that. She gets help from her sister and friends, of course, to get the bed and breakfast up and running. Soon after that, her husband's brother comes to take a visit and actually pay his respects to his brother. And he ends up staying at her bed and breakfast to help her out as a handyman. And Maggie starts, you know, having feelings for him, you know, and she's feeling bad about having feelings for him. And it's a mutual thing. Then Maggie's mother actually comes back into her life after she had left the girls when, you know, she was about five. At least that's what Maggie thought. But when she shows up, she finds out that her mother has pneumocoma. And she didn't actually leave the girls. She actually forgot them and moved on to a whole new life. You know, Maggie never looked for her because she figured, you know, she just left. And, of course, she also comes to the realization that this disease is hereditary, and she might get this, you know, mind-erasing disease as well, along with her sisters.
Ooh, boy, and there are so many other twists to the story. We don't want to give them all away.
Yes,
Maggie's bed and breakfast is so easy to do because I'm getting, you know, you get pulled into the story. Maggie's bed and breakfast.
I have to stop talking, yeah.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. So you have Maggie's bed and breakfast, and then you go into your other book, The Book of Scattered Memories. Tell us about that. What's that about?
Yeah, this is, you know, of course, part two, and it's kind of a backstory to her mother, and it's all done in a diary. So, you know, it revolves around her mother's diary, and it's like a diary in a box reveals the secrets of the past and the future that's bound to unfold, which kind of sums it up. She finds her mother's diary after her mother passes away, and, you know, she starts reading this diary. And she decides to read it to herself first before she, you know, brings it to her sister's attention. But while reading this, she discovers things from her mother's past that she wonders if it's real or if it's just a bunch of her mother's scattered memories. And, you know, she starts reading, like, the first entry, you know, June 1st, 1984. You know, I meet a nice man today fishing. His name is John White. He has a beautiful little girl, one-year-old girl named Marty. And Maggie just, like, drops a diary because all along Marty was her sister, you know, so now she's finding out that Marty's not her sister, you know, and how she was going to tell her sister that they're not really related, you know, and the story kind of continues that way. She reads a part of the diary that brings together things of her mother's past and so on.
Ooh, so I'm just thinking out loud. How many of you listening to this, can you imagine finding your mother's diary? When my mother died, I did find some writings, and it didn't reveal anything like your character has revealed, which is wild. But it is interesting to think about that. What a great road to go down in coming up with these stories. Where do you get your ideas?
I got this program, and it was just so easy to use, and, you know, I was just trying to put myself into running a bed and breakfast, and how it would feel to do that, and I don't know, it just kind of came to me. I just started writing, and I thought, okay, I'm going to throw a diary in there. Let's throw some twist to this story.
I like it.
And
when people read this, when people are listening to this, they go and they want to get into a good series and some good novels, and they read both of these books. What do you hope they take away?
Well, you know, my stories are fiction, but for me, you know, they're true to life kind of stories. So I believe they're relatable. In other words, I think that they might be able to put themselves in the position of my characters, you know, and you know, I love writing the strong women characters. And so, you know, I would just hope that they would get lost into my stories and enjoy my stories, you know, as much as I did enjoy writing them.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a little family affair because your daughter and granddaughter and the cover, how'd that come about?
Well, yeah, I because of the story, they have a lot of fishing in my story. That's kind of like their pastime. And I had taken my daughter and granddaughter down to Fairmont Park and gave them fishing poles. And we took a bunch of pictures that day. And I went through the pictures, and the pictures that I have on there, I thought, you know, this is the perfect Maggie, and this is the perfect Tina. So, yeah, so it's kind of personal to me.
It's funny you say that, because if you read the Book of Scattered Memories, a Maggie's Bed and Breakfast story, the very first chapter, the new fishing spot.
Right. Yeah, it's all about fishing for them. There's a problem. They're all going fishing.
That sounds good to me. Yeah. Absolutely. Was it fun for you? Was it fun for you to write this? I mean, it's like you're a daydreamer and you escape into this, right?
Right. Yeah, it really was. Like I said, when I first started writing it, this is actually, I'm redoing my story. So, you know, they were done like 10 years ago. And so I'm rebranding them now. But, yeah, I had a really good time writing it. But at the time, it was just going to be for me. And the covers were kind of plain, but they were personal because they were, you know, my daughter and my granddaughter. So, you know, and then after some time went by and I got a call saying, let's rebrand, I thought, yeah, why not share my stories, you know, to the public?
Yep.
So here I am.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of reminds me, like, it makes me think of Hallmark. It makes me think of those kinds of stories, which couldn't be more popular. Can you imagine if this, I don't know, somehow got picked up and it was on the screen?
Oh, that would be a dream. Yeah, I mean, I've had some people tell me, you know, your book is so predictable. And I tell them, you know, but it's like a Hallmark movie. In the first 10 minutes, you kind of figure out who's gonna get together. And at the end, they're going to seal it with a kiss. But it's the ride in between. So, yeah, I mean, if they want to pick this up as a Hallmark movie, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, dreams can come true, that's for sure.
Dream, some of yours, that's it. That's what it's about, dream big.
And some of yours have definitely come true. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, you can get the books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Ava, what a delight to speak with you.
You too. You have a great day.
Wow, I love these authors that we have on when they have some time and there's things that they're thinking about. And she talked about, she does this program and then comes up with these ideas. And the book really is so well written. It's great storytelling and it does pull you in. And so I'm not surprised in the comparisons to what the Hallmark movie or some of those Netflix movies, what they do, how they take you with a really big, interesting beginning and then take you through the story. And I think you really are rooting for Maggie. That's what I would say. And the idea that in the second book that she finds the diary, wow, that's one of those moments, I think, that when people are going through their mother's things, their parents' things, and they come across something like that, it's do you dare open it or what do you do? And she's got it there wrapped in the story. So well done. Thanks to Ava for coming on and all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, The dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter, at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.